So we can have a little more thoughts now in the 10 minutes or so we have left. How can we be guided in those relationships, recognizing that Satan is a liar? He is not going to guide us correctly. Our natural inclinations are not going to guide us correctly. God cannot lie. He is going to guide us correctly. What guidance do we have in allowing the Lord to use our daily experiences, our interactions with one another? What are some principles or illustrations or examples where people were brought together? Or just principles that are related to that, even if it's not specific individuals.
Just going back to 1 Timothy, I think we get one of the examples with regards to this. And we have to really, you know, renew our minds. We really have to allow the Word of God to be authoritative on our approaches to everything in life, and even in this matter, to allow the Word of God to be authoritative. I think if some of you were here 5 years ago, we took up the subject of godliness, and we talked a little bit about this already. And one of the things that we emphasized then and we'll emphasize again today is you don't become something, you know, because you turn the switch on. You don't become a godly wife or a godly husband before you were being a godly man and a godly woman. So if you're really in pursuit and your longing and your desire before God is to be a wife, to be a husband at some point, your focus today ought to be, I want to be a godly man and a godly woman. And so with that in mind, Paul writes to Timothy, just finished telling him how to be a godly man in chapter 4, and picks up in chapter 5 and says, this is how I want you to conduct yourself with regard to the ladies. You see, if I don't renew my mind, I'm going to conduct myself with regards to the ladies the way this culture tells me to it. And I act and play the role of a player. Or I act and play the role as if, you know, feelings are being trifled with. I do inappropriate things because that's the norm of the culture. It's amazing when you read the Bible and you take the Bible seriously, it tells you exactly how you're to conduct yourself. So, for example, in chapter 5, verse 2, the second part of the verse, it says, Timothy, young man, godly young man, when you interact with a young woman, how do you treat her? Like your sister with all purity. Let that wash in your brain a little bit. What you're thinking about doing with that girl, are you going to do that to your sister? Well, she is your sister. She's your sister in the Lord. So if you're thinking about holding her hand, you're thinking about doing other stuff, that's your sister. Would you do that to your biological sister? You go, oh! Absolutely the way you have to think about it. The Bible tells us, touch not a woman. Well, the whole culture says, nah, I don't do that. We have to orient ourselves biblically as we approach relationships. When you approach relationships and you build in the context of understanding that you're related. You are part of the same family of God, and you can't compromise and you can't follow a worldview that minimizes the speciality of each individual in the eyes of God. So you treat one another, Paul to Timothy is you treat her like a sister with all purity.
Now, with that in mind, let me ask a question. We know that God is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we know that we are triune beings as well. How are we a triune being? Somebody, anybody.
What are the parts?
Well, what are the parts of the triune of us?
Anybody?
What is it?
Body, soul, and spirit.
Thank you very much. You even said it the way I wanted you to say it. Thank you. Because that's the way the world says it.
Yeah. The world tells us body, soul, and spirit. And always puts the spirit last. But scripture puts it spirit, soul, and body. Body's last. In scripture. Anytime that's in Thessalonians, in other places, anytime where these three are brought together talking about us, spirit is always first. So to complement what Mark just said and to build on it, instead of building a physical relationship body to body, what we want to do is renewing our mind. We are created a spiritual being. The spirit testifies to our spirit that we belong to God. We're a spiritual being. The spirit is the part of us that allows us to connect and have a relationship with God. And so what we want to do in relationships with one another, we want to connect spirit to spirit. Mm-hmm. We want to connect spirit to spirit. We want to build on spirit to spirit. The body to body, the soul to soul, the soul is the part of us where the emotions are, and the mind, the real you. The body is the physical shell, and often we put the emphasis on the physical shell. Mm-hmm. And then we say we're in a relationship because we're holding hands or whatever. But if you really want to be in a relationship, you work on spirit, work on your spirit, allowing the spirit of God to testify with your spirit that you belong to God, mm-hmm. build that, and then work spirit to spirit. Mm-hmm. And see if that doesn't, in a relationship. I'll tell you, I've been married twice. And both times, I have to say, I've had a sister, a godly sister, that I'm connected to spirit to spirit. Mm. There's nothing like it in the world. Mm-hmm. Nothing like it. Mm. And that's what you want. You want a relationship, spirit to spirit, where you can enjoy the things of the Lord together. Mm. Anything else is going to fade away. Because the physical changes. Mm-hmm. Believe me. The physical changes, but the spiritual only gets better when you build on it. So let me encourage you that way.